We're going to read the Word of God this morning from Ephesians chapter 2. As we read the chapter, I'd like you to notice especially verse 1 and then verses 8, 9, and 10 of this chapter. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's our way of life, we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, that's Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's as much of God's word as we read this morning. I want to read also, especially in connection with Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, from one of our creeds, from the Heidelberg Catechism. And I'm going to read three questions and answers there that all have to do with good works. Questions 86 and 87, and then question and answer 91. You'll find that, if you want to read along, on page 19 in the back of the Psalter. Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ without any merit of ours, you can hear in those words an echo of Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Heidelberg Catechism asks, if that's true, why must we still do good works? And the answer is, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. And then the Catechism asks, cannot they then be saved, who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means, for the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. And you'll find the scripture passages that support the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism there. You'll find them in the margin. And then also question and answer 91. But what are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to his glory, and not such as are founded on our imaginations or the institutions of men. So the subject this morning is good works. And I want you to notice right at the beginning that the Heidelberg Catechism, when it talks about good works, puts them in their proper place. They are one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways in which we show our thankfulness to God for our salvation. And the Catechism is very careful. We've noticed that as we've gone through the teaching of the Catechism. It's very careful not to suggest that our works have anything to do with our being saved. We don't merit salvation by works. We don't show ourselves to be worthy of salvation by our good works. As Ephesians 2 says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then to make sure that we understand, adds in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there are all kinds of wrong teachings about good works floating around in the church world today. There's still the old heresy, wrong teaching, that we are saved by works, in spite of what Ephesians 2, verse 9 teaches. For example, the teaching that faith, rather than being the gift of God, as Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, that faith is something we produce, one of our works, and that God, in saving us, depends on our doing by our own will and as our own work, that believing, which is the way of salvation. But there are all kinds of other errors on the other side. There are those, for example, who teach that the Christian is still totally depraved and that there's no exception to that, and therefore unable to do good works, and to say what the Catechism says, that he must do good works, is a denial of God's grace and of man's depravity. There are those who don't want any talk of good works in the life of the Christian at all, because they reject the idea that the law, in connection with the gospel, is a way of life and thankfulness for us. That teaching has the name antinomianism, which just simply means that they're against the law. There are those who teach that the Christian, in a way, does good works, but it's really not the Christian himself who's doing them, but Christ or his Spirit. It's not I who pray, really, not really, but Christ who prays. It's not I who am holy, but the Spirit in me who's holy in word and deed. That teaching is sometimes referred to as the exchanged life. And the basic idea of that teaching is that Christ lives a life of obedience in me and through me. But to talk about me doing good works, works that are good in God's sight and acceptable to him, is unbiblical. And yet, of course, the Catechism asks, why must we still do good works? And Ephesians 2 says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So following the teaching of the Catechism and of the Word of God in Ephesians 2 and in other passages, the subject this morning is good works, or what does the Bible teach about good works? And we're going to look first at what good works are. Then we're going to talk about emphasizing some of the things that we read in the Catechism and what we read in Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're going to emphasize the fact that we do good works because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and because God has ordained that we should walk in them. And notice that. He hasn't ordained that Christ would do good works through us, so that they're not really our works, but simply Christ living his life in us. but we are ordained to walk, to live in good works by God Himself. And finally, we're going to look at the fact that God blesses good works and uses them to bless us and others and to bring glory and honor to His own name. So those three things this morning. I don't think you can do better if you ask what good works are. You can do better than recite, remember what the Catechism says in that third question and answer that we read. What are good works? And the Catechism says that there are three things that have to be true. If something is to be a good work, not in the mind of others, but in God's sight. Three things. The first is that it has to come from a true faith. And there, the Catechism quotes or refers to Hebrews, or rather to Romans 14, verse 25, a passage that you can look up. But that means that only a believer, only a Christian can do good works and puts aside all the good and helpful things that unbelievers do. If I have a flat tire and someone stops along the road to help me, at least in my own mind, they did good. And most people judge good on that basis. It's helpful. Taking care of people in hospitals is good because it helps them in many cases to get well and to go about their life once again, and so on. But the question is not, is it good in the eyes of others? The question is, does God count it good? And the answer of the Bible is very clearly no. No. You have that, for example, in Psalm 14. And you have to notice when you read these verses from Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, that this is God's judgment on mankind, not our own judgment. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did He see? Well, He saw that they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not apart from the grace, the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. And that's what the Catechism is emphasizing when it says, only those that proceed from a true faith. And then by way of explaining that, it adds that they have to be performed according to the law of God and to His glory. If you leave out that first part, then you end up where our society is today. Then homosexuality is good. then the whole gender movement is good. And so with a thousand other perversions and evils that trouble our society, has to be according to the law of God. And you can understand that to refer to the Ten Commandments, but you can understand that to refer to the whole Word of God. But that's just another way of saying that God has to judge it good before it is really good. And then, too, it has to be for His glory. People do good things, things that others judge good. They do things that are helpful. But if you ask the question, and that has to be asked, why do they do them? Then the answer is not the answer that the Catechism gives, to His glory. They do it, they build hospitals so that they can have their name over front entrance. And much of what the world, the unbelieving world, calls good is really just a way in which wicked men salve their consciences. And I think we all know that from our experience. So it has to be according to the law of God and to His glory, and not founded on our imaginations or the institutions of man. Much that is called good is not good in God's sight. What are good works then in your life and in mine? We'll explain why they're good in a moment. But what things are being referred to? When the Catechism or the Word of God talks about good works, well, it's talking about spiritual activities in the life, the lives of God's people. Those who have what the Catechism calls a true faith, prayer, the reading of the Word of God, family devotions, listening in faith to the Word of God when it's preached on the Lord's Day. Those are good works, good deeds of the Christian. But those good works include a lot of other things besides. When your children and young people do your homework and do it not just because your parents require it of you and your teachers, but do it because you understand that it's the work that God gives you to do during this time of your life, and then do it cheerfully, and do it honestly, and do it faithfully, then that's a good work. It's a good work. When a wife and mother does the dishes, takes care of her family, cooks the meals, and does that because it's the work, it's in the Word of God, that God has given her to do. And she does it, not thinking all the time, I'm doing this for God, but she does it cheerfully and faithfully, that she's doing a good work. The book of Ephesians gives us all kinds of examples of the good works that are talked about in Ephesians 2, the works that we are created unto in Christ Jesus, and which God before ordained that we should walk in them, especially in chapters 4 and 5, where we're called to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and the references to the church, of course. When we do that, we're doing a good work. When we speak the truth in love, has to be spoken, but it has to be spoken in love. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4, verse 50, that's a good work. When we put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, when we're angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down on our anger, when we labor, working with our hands the thing which is good, and do that so that we can have something to give to those who are in need, then those are the good works that the Word of God is talking about in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. We're not saved by those works. We don't earn anything from God by those works. But as the Catechism points out, we are showing our appreciation for what God has done for us. And we were created in Christ Jesus for that. And God ordained all that belongs to our salvation for that. And so through the chapter, when husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, when wives submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord, when children obey their parents in the Lord, when servants, we would call them employees, when they do their work, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, then they're doing good works. The good works that are mentioned first there in Ephesians 2. And so on with all that's commanded in those final chapters of the book of Ephesians. It's not just leaving us then, the Word of God in Ephesians. It's not just leaving us with some vague ideas about what good works are, but giving us specifics in the home, in marriage, in the family, in every area of our lives. But that brings us to that must. We must do those things. And that's evident from the fact that all the different things we just talked about are commanded in Ephesians 4 and 5 and in other passages. And the must is just simply, first of all, God's saving grace. I must do these things. They're commanded and expected of me in the Word of God, because by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what a wonderful thing that is. That really is the Christian's freedom. Freedom from the horrible, horrible bondage of trying or thinking that he has somehow to earn God's favor and blessing. It's all of grace, the Word of God says. But the Christian doesn't say, I don't see how he could say, I'm saved by grace to live as I please, to do what I want. God, by a miracle of grace, in the cross of my Savior and by the work of his Spirit, delivered me from my sins so that I could go on in my sins? How could it possibly be that way? We are, as Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, created. And it's referring not to our original creation, but to our salvation, which is a kind of creation, a recreation of a lost sinner into a child of God, an obedient, faithful child of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that's God's eternal good pleasure as well. That's what he, in eternity, decreed and planned for me and for you. When he decreed the cross of Christ as our salvation, then he decreed that the result of the cross would be in my heart and life a new obedience to God. It's not just Ephesians 2 that says that. You have that in Titus as well. Titus 2. Verse 14. Nope, I've got the wrong reference. Oh, I'm in Timothy. That's why. Titus 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We all understand that, don't we? Redemption. Purchase from the slavery of unbelief and sin is in Christ Jesus and in his giving himself for us. But he gave us not only to redeem us, but to purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And that means that the blood of Christ is not just the price of my redemption, but that fountain in which I'm washed from my sinfulness and from the presence of sin and become, with a beginning in this life and perfectly and forever in heaven, become obedient to the will of God, living a life of good works. You see? That's what the Catechism was getting at when in answer to question 86, it said, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings. That's the must of good works. And I think, my dear fellow believers, I think you feel that and understand that. Understand on the one hand, of course, that good works can never, ever, ever be the way of salvation. Because the best things we do are full of sin. But that it just isn't right for a Christian to act and live as though he's been redeemed, to continue his old, wicked, disobedient, unbelieving life of sin. Christ's blood was shed for that? That's the result of the Spirit's work? God forbid. So if you ask the question, why must we do good works in connection with Ephesians 2 and what we've read from the Catechism, the answer is, first of all, God ordained them, planned the whole of our salvation so that it would lead to that, and then too, through that, to his glory, so that he would be praised as the only Savior and Redeemer of his people. And then too, because Christ died, he purchased those good works for us. That's really what Ephesians 2 verse 10 is getting at. I'm not just created, recreated in Christ to be like him, but to be like him also in the way that I live. And because I'm unable of myself to please God or to do anything that's pleasing to him, he purchased by his death on the cross every good work that I will ever do. Even my tears for my sins were purchased at the cross. And then too, because the Spirit works in me. Can you imagine, beloved, that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, can be in you without effect, without change, without holiness resulting? Impossible. So the must of good works lies in the saving grace of God. It's, to put it simply, it's not just because I'm commanded. That I do this or that. The good works that Ephesians talks about. But it's because I'm saved by God's amazing grace. And because I understand that I couldn't have been saved in any other way. And love him for his great salvation. And understand, too, what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the way it is, isn't it? But it needs to be emphasized, and that just magnifies the miracle of grace. It has to be emphasized that God accepts and blesses those good works that the Christian does. He wouldn't command them if that wasn't true, would he? But it's God himself who calls them good works in his word. When I look at them, then I tend to see all my weaknesses and shortcomings and failures and sinfulness. I look at my prayers and I think to myself, I forgot this, I forgot that. I prayed more for my earthly needs than for spiritual things, which are 1,000 times more important. I didn't pray as I ought to have done, trusting in God. And then there were those times that I prayed when I did it merely out of habit. And yet God shows that He accepts the prayers of His people, that they're good in His sight when He listens and answers. That's His way of saying that prayer is indeed a good work. Not something that saves me, God forbid, but a way in which, perhaps the most important way, in which I show my love and thankfulness to the God of my salvation. Something to think about, isn't it? But what an amazing thing. They're not perfect. I don't know of any passage, I'm sure there isn't a passage in the Word of God, that calls the works of the Christian perfect works, because they're never that. Only Christ's works were perfect. And that's why they atoned for our sins and purchased for us eternal life. Only His works. Mine are never perfect. Not in this life. But good works. God calls them that in His Word, and calls them that because He accepts them and blesses them. Amazing, amazing. He listens to my prayers. He approves of my work. That's the teaching of the Word of God, you know, that the work we do, the daily work we do, is used, as menial as it may be in the eyes of some, it's used by Christ for His kingdom and cause. That's a way of saying that it's good in God's sight. Oh, all the sins that I commit, all my shortcomings have to be forgiven me. No matter what area of my life I'm talking about, I'm always in need of God's forgiving grace. But what an amazing thing that by the decree of God, by the cross of Christ, by the work of His Spirit, I'm able and willing to live a life of good works and obedience and holiness in His presence. Don't have time this morning. Maybe leave that for another occasion, to talk about the different ways in which God blesses good works. He may be praised by us. Everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. By our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. God blesses them in our relationship to Him. He blesses them in our relationship to others. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes using them to gain others to Christ. And He blesses them to us personally. We see in ourselves, that's the catechism, the fruits of God's saving grace. And so learn that we are His children, saved by the cross and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, and I'll leave you with that this morning, truly, the tree is known by its fruits. That's you and I. Amen. Father in heaven, bless what we've heard and spoken this morning, and where we have spoken imperfectly and heard imperfectly, cover all our sin with the blood of our Savior. Bless us that we may take these words to heart and live in obedience to Thy word here in the world as Christians, as followers of our Savior, and as those who love our Heavenly Father and appreciate what our Savior and His Spirit have done for us. And bless us as we go our separate ways for a few hours. Bring us back here again this evening, if it is Thy will. We ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.